Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome back to Insights with Fritz Springmeier, where I give commentary about this last week's news, answer a selected question from listeners, and last but not least, tell some encouraging rest of the stories to edify us. The question from listeners selected for this week's show is, why are the Illuminati's methods for reducing the world's population, for instance, poisoning the soil, water, and air, also dangerous for their own health? What's that all about? Well, thanks for tuning in for my last show in 2016. This is the Insights with Fritz Springmeier show. If you are listening to an archive of this show, today is Friday, December 30th. So get comfortable and enjoy the show. Let's look at our first subject, teen prostitution. No one knows exactly what the actual numbers are in the USA of teen prostitutes. In 2003, 1,400 juveniles were arrested nationally for prostitution, according to an FBI report. UNICEF puts the figure for the U.S. at 300,000 teenage prostitutes in this country. In one study of teenagers, 3.5% of high schoolers said they had engaged in sex for drugs or money. But almost all the positive responders were males, which indicates that the actual statistics are higher. It could be easily that 10% of American teenagers are involved in prostitution. We know that one-third of all runaways are reported to have a brush with prostitution. Whatever the actual numbers, it is significant enough to say America has a problem. I realize some people don't see a problem with this. Let me put it this way. Runaway girls that are entrapped in prostitution have a short life expectancy, and many who survive end up with diseases and health problems. Okay, but when we get into looking at what we're going to look at, some people are going to object, and we'll discuss that in a minute. But I want to come up with some good news now. On Monday, Keith Avila, who is an Uber driver, picked up two women and a female teenager dressed in a short skirt. Uber is a company headquartered in San Francisco, and their drivers drive for them whenever they feel like it. It's that kind of flexibility that allowed Keith to pick up three females in Sacramento, California. They asked to go to a Holiday Inn. While driving, he overheard the two women teaching the teenage girl how to take care of a John at the Holiday Inn. The girl was to get the money up front. She was to hug the John in order to pat him down for weapons. So after dropping the two women pimps and their brand new 16-year-old teenage prostitute off, Keith went around the corner and called the cops, who then busted the pimps and took the runaway teenagers to temporary housing. I wanted to give that good news before I give the rotten news. In a related story, the California legislature, which consists of two-thirds liberal Democrats, just passed a law that takes effect on January 1st, 2017, which makes teenage prostitution legal. Those of us who have been watching the so-called liberals in this nation could sense that they were wanting to finish stripping the USA of our last vestiges of legal morality. So now boys and girls can be legal prostitutes in California. This is the state that voted for Hillary. Of course, millions of the votes for Hillary in California were cast by illegal aliens. But nevertheless, as my book documents, books document, especially my out-of-print Ezekiel 6:3 book on spiritual warfare, there are hundreds of covens in California that have been actively working to destroy any sign of godly morality in the state. In my writings, I have even given dozens of the covenant addresses and named some of the leaders, like Lily Tomlin, leader of the Hollywood Underground Luciferian Coven. Mentioning her brings up an aside that I'd like to point out. Ex-Illuminati members have explained to me that because comedians are so popular, many of the idolized comedians are Illuminati program multiples, say like Jim Carrey, or handlers like Bob Hope. Bryce Taylor's book, Thanks for the Memories, will give some details on some of this. You'll note that comedian Stephen Thomas Scroven is a Skull and Bones member. So the story about California legalizing prostitution may well involve the Skull and Bones, because the number of the bill was 1-322. 322 are the famous Skull and Bone numbers, which they love to use. For instance, Prescott Bush served in the 322nd Regiment. Skull and Bones members are fined $3.22 if they miss a meeting. Brussels, Belgium city code is 322. So naming this bill with the Skull and Bones sacred 322 number is like calling it the 666 bill. And this begs the question, are there Skull and Bones members in California? Yes, even though it is a Yale secret society, there are plenty in California. Just to name a few Californian Skull and Boners, Robert Richard Burgee, Douglas Wells Clark, Peter Anthony Lusk, Stephen Joseph McPhee, Mark Morgenstern, Richard Douglas Moyer, David MacIver Rumsey, Bradford Curry Snell. I just gave you 8 Illuminati Skull and Bone members in California. There are others, dear listener. So before I go to my next related story, let's just talk for a moment, because some people feel like legalizing teenage prostitution is good because then the teenagers don't get victimized with a criminal record. But what this allows is one, that there won't be anything in the system dealing with these children. And two, if you have someone who's a pedophile, all they're going to have to do to justify what they're doing is say, well, the child is doing it for money, you know. No. This is just one more step in the wrong direction. Now, in a further related story, because the liberals in California are frustrated that the silent majority have elected Trump and interrupted their plans to make things like pedophilia legal, these liberals have filed paperwork last month in California for a ballot measure in 2018 that would begin the process for California to secede from the USA. At that time, people would vote on whether or not to remove language in the state constitution that currently binds California to the United States. If that ballot measure succeeds, then California would pursue a 2019 vote to declare the states independent. At least half of the state's voters would have to cast ballots, and 55% would have to choose independence for California to become its own nation, according to the document called Yes, California, filed with the Attorney General's office. The liberals are contending that they are so culturally different from most Americans that they'd be better off by separating from the United States and taking care of themselves. Judging from the contempt I have heard throughout the Midwest towards the amorality of liberals in California, I think many Americans would be happy to see them leave. What is humorous, I guess in a way, is that these same liberals have called libertarians all kinds of names when libertarians have tried to run secession movements. Now the liberal media says California should have the right to secede after they have previously lambasted libertarians and conservatives for wanting that right. But then, since when have these socialist-pushing anti-Christ liberals been consistent? Interestingly, as part of these California liberals' push to become internationally recognized, opened up a cultural center in Moscow, Russia. In announcing earlier this month about their Moscow location, the secession movement stated, quote, "The Yes California Independence Campaign successfully opened its first of many planned California cultural centers, which will serve to build a bridge between the nation of California and the nations of the world." Boy, are these liberals out of touch with reality. First, Russia does not share their amoral lack of value. Men are still men, and women are still women in Russia, not androgynous, mixed-up, gender-confused people. Further, Russia is supposedly, according to Obama this week, the reason Hillary lost and Trump won. Obama this week just kicked out 35 Russian diplomats claiming that Russia hacked the U.S. presidential election. Obama also shut down two Russian living quarters, one in New York and one in Maryland, where Russian government people live. Yet California's liberals apparently think Russia will support them. Figure that out. Obama has also continued to agitate the Russians in Syria, obviously hoping he can ignite World War III, so that he has an excuse not to hand over power to Trump. And as many of you know, Obama continues to try to bring in as many third world illegal immigrants as he can, so we can help implement the Illuminati's agenda to turn America into a third world nation. How much damage can he do in his remaining 21 days? Obama's Secretary of State John Kerry, another skull and boner, declared this week, quote, "Israel can be Jewish or democratic, but not both," end quote. The Obama administration continues to support the Palestinian state over the Israeli state, and I understand people wanting the Palestinians to have their rights respected. My question is this: will all these Muslims like and respect America better if America supports Palestine rather than Israel? No. The answer is an easy no. Until America completely is under Sharia law, we will remain the enemy. So unfortunately, helping the Palestinians instead of the Israelis will not help America. I and others have already documented how practicing Muslims want to destroy America and our constitutional government. They view us as the enemy. Reportedly, Trump has already written out an executive order which will nullify all of Despot Obama's 8 years of executive decrees, many of which were blatantly unconstitutional. Freedom-loving Americans continue to watch a Bush-created, quote, war on terror, end quote, which is really a war on American ideals, and wondering if it will ever end. Boston is now using surveillance cameras all over the city, something the UK adopted years ago. Trump continues saving American jobs even before being sworn in as president. This last week, Sprint announced bringing back 5,000 jobs to America. And liberals continue being intolerant. Last week, it was Trump's daughter Ivanka and Trump's grandchildren who were verbally assaulted. This week, it is Kellyanne Conway's children being taunted and harassed by peers in Washington, D.C. One thing has remained true during my lifetime. Many liberals who want people to tolerate their gross lifestyles have zero tolerance for people who don't share their warped values. By the way, listeners who enjoy my show may want to listen to two sisters, Diamond and Silk, who daily give their comments. They can be quite entertaining as they give their perspective on current events. They are two Christian sisters. Former governor of Alaska, Sarah Palin, has called on Trump to get out of the United Nations. I know many Americans feel the same way. While I have Sarah Heath Palin under discussion, Heath being her maiden name, let's put it mildly, even if I agree with some of her politics, I have some serious questions about this lady. A little bit about her background. Her grandmother was a Christian Scientist who was married to a descendant of the Mayflower family who was a Hollywood photographer. Her father ran away from this abusive home to be adopted by the Mooney family and to be part of a 200 family liberal experiment by FDR called the Matanuska Colony in Alaska. This colony was a liberal democratic New Deal experiment in southwest Alaska and was a liberal area until the Alaska pipeline came in. Anyway, there are definitely some off-color things in her background, and her personal story is ever-changing when you hear it from her. So like a number of people associated with Trump, I wonder. I'll leave it at that. The bottom line is whether we see genuine change for the better or not, that's the bottom line. Would it help or hurt for the U.S. to leave the U.N.? The U.N. does push for globalization, and UNICEF and some of its other agencies are definitely Illuminati-directed. The ins and outs of what happened or could happen if we left are difficult for me to assess. The U.S. did not join the U.N.'s forerunner, the League of Nations, and the Illuminati agenda went right along without a glitch. Okay, let's turn to the question of the day. Why are the Illuminati's methods for reducing the world's population, for instance, poisoning the soil, water, and air, also dangerous for their own health? What's that all about? So allow me to review some of what's been going on. There was a woman who was elected mayor of a small town in Washington, and she discovered that ever since World War II, corporations have been selling their toxic waste from their factories. They have been secretly hauling it to fertilizer companies. And fertilizer companies, when they sell a bag of fertilizer, do not have to label it. They do not have to label the ingredients. They just label it fertilizer and say it's good for calcium or some other ingredient that they claim is in the bag. The rest of the ingredients, they don't have to declare. She discovered that they were putting all kinds of toxins, including Hanford nuclear reactors, nuclear waste, the radioactive waste, was also going into the fertilizer that was being sold here in the United States and overseas. And that was the reason why so many children in her small town were coming down and dying from cancer. And she tried to expose this, and the powers that be all over came down hard on her. They were trying to keep a lid on this. The point is the powers that be are behind all of this toxification of our soil, water, and air. Very interesting. So let me discuss one area that they have been toxifying, which is Nevada. So in 1951, the Groom Lake Area 51 area began to be used for secret stuff by the Atomic Energy Commission. And the Atomic Energy Commission managed to keep anybody from connecting them to the Groom Lake area for decades. Hey, secrets can be kept. The Atomic Energy Commission oversaw the production of 70,000 U.S. nuclear bombs of various sizes, including thermonukes, 49 of which they recklessly exploded in the area for the first 5 years. The large area was called the Nevada Test and Training Range, and the various areas began with Area 1 and were numbered up to Area 51. They exploded 105 nukes in the area above ground and 828 below ground in deep vertical shafts made in tunnels. Areas 12, 19, and 20 are examples of areas they nuked. The last nuke nuclear test was done on September 23rd, 1992. In 1957, they recklessly crashed a plane with a dirty nuke at Area 13, just to the north of Area 51, just to see what would happen. Well, guess what? It contaminated the ground with plutonium, of course. And so during this time, we have Dr. Schilling, the Deputy Director of Biology and Medicine for the Atomic Energy Commission, telling the public, or perhaps we should use the word lying to the public, that radiation is safe. So radiation from the test site has drifted all over the Midwest, especially to states like Idaho and Montana, which got especially high doses. The radiation drifted in significant amounts all the way to Missouri and Arkansas. And I mean, it's been scientifically proven that the radiation began to cause some serious medical problems in the populations of these states. You can look at the cancer rates going up. So in a nearby town of Kalinte, Nevada, noticed radioactive iodine-131 in their water, guess what? The government blamed China. And when farmers lost cattle to radiation, they were told by the government inspectors their cattle had died from vitamin deficiency. So I interviewed a credible local person who lived near Area 51 who told me that it was common for the locals to see weird mutant animals, you know, like giant rabbits running around. Well, and then giving a personal story, a friend of mine who had wanted her tree sprayed, her fruit tree sprayed, the company that came out and did it sprayed it with Agent Orange. Agent Orange cost more than the spray that she had requested. Her dogs, her kids got cancer. She took samples of what had been sprayed, got it tested. It tested out as Agent Orange. She contacted the EPA, that's Environmental Protection Agency, supposedly protecting us, and they laughed at her, and they didn't help. So why are these people that are supposed to be protecting us not? You know, why is the government allowing all this? Why are the powers that should not be allowing all this pollution? You know, we have nuclear plants being built on fault lines. Three Mile Island, Chernobyl, and Fukushima all involved human air. So we have the world being contaminated with radiation that will stick around for billions of years. You know, this stuff will affect everyone. It doesn't matter whether or what club you belong to. It doesn't matter whether you're a skull and boner or whether you're some other kind of Illuminati. It doesn't matter who you are. It's going to stick around and affect all of us. And our topsoil around the world has been polluted. And the powers that be are protecting this pollution going on. They're protecting the chemtrail that's spreading stuff all over. And believe me, when they spray these chemtrails, it goes everywhere. You know, the wind blows it around. So what is happening? What you are looking at, dear listener, is the evidence of what kind of agenda the Illuminati are really carrying out. The Illuminati kingpins and ex-members have both told me that they are getting their agenda from fallen angels and aliens. This agenda is anti-human. The Illuminati are selling the human race out. They're a bunch of traitors to the human race. They're helping destroy humanity on this planet, so that humans will be replaced by something else. Of course, some of them think that they will somehow have some safe havens, travel to Mars on anti-gravity flying saucers, live underground or whatever. But in their warped minds, they don't realize that we will all go down, and they will go down with the rest of us. As that saying goes, revolutions always eat their own children, meaning those who help out get victimized as well. These psychotic traitors to the human race will indeed threaten their own survival. But you have to remember, they're a cult of death. They have a different attitude towards life than Christians. They hate God and his creation. they want to see it destroyed. Have you noticed all this Gaia propaganda that they're behind that makes people out to be the problem? Hey, this volcano recently in Italy that spewed CO2 into the air, it spewed more CO2 into the air than mankind has in all of our history. But you're going to hear their propaganda from their green revolution continue to say that we humans with our cars are the problem. Yeah, these bad humans, they're the problem. They're doing this and they're doing that. They need to be destroyed. And having children, oh, that's just adding to the problem. Okay, well, I'm ready to take a commercial break if Liberty Lisa will put on a commercial. Why, let's do it.
Hello everyone, my name is Suzanne Maher and I'm founder of Bye Bye Blue Sky, and we have a passion for the planet. Bye Bye Blue Sky is a dedicated global public environmental movement who seeks to be a voice for all living creatures and ecosystems, and to protect human health and safeguard the natural environment, air, water, and land which our sustenance depends. We use education, peaceful protest, and creative communication to expose one of the world's largest and most significant ecological threats and preeminent disasters, commonly known as climate engineering or chemtrails. Please visit our website, byebyebluesky.com, and learn the truth about the sinister aerosol spraying. There are many media articles, patents, government white papers, which are available on our site, which attest to these programs. We also have awareness items, bumper stickers, t-shirts, which can be purchased, and brochures and business cards, which can be downloaded and distributed. There are a number of ongoing Bye Bye Blue Sky GoFundMe billboard campaigns in North America. The link's available on our website. I encourage everyone to donate to these billboards. A few dollars can save the planet. Please also join Bye Bye Blue Sky on our Facebook page of the same name and meet dedicated and like minds. Thank you.
Well, I pulled out of Pittsburgh, rolling down that eastern seaboard. I got my diesel wound up and she's running like I never before.
Hey folks, this is The Mouth, and if you need something moved, you need to go through Dabco Transportation. Family-owned and operated, Dabco Transportation specializes in pad wrap fixtures to retail stores throughout the country, as well as furniture transportation, pad trap and box furniture from California to Arizona to all points east. Be it truckload, LTL, rollout, exclusive use, or expedited, Dabco is here to service their clients safely, efficiently, and quickly. So if you need something moved within the continental U.S., contact Dabco Transportation at 609-296-9121 or contact them directly at dabcotrans.com. That's dabcotrans.com.
But I could never make believe it's all right. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight.
Yes, you have a right to do things that are very controversial. If not, you're going to end up with government that's going to tell us what we can eat and drink and whatever.
Well, hello. This is Liberty Lisa, and you are listening to The Truth Train.
We're on a mission from God.
I think that if we actually follow the Constitution, you know, it would be a completely different world that we were living in.
Oh, yeah!
You know, I myself am fighting against, the unconstitutional state laws here on foreclosure here in Colorado. How in the world could the Attorney General, the purported defender of the people support an unconstitutional law.
I pity myself that I gotta be with these fools.
If you're going to amend the Constitution and show a track record of at least upholding what's there in the first place, let's not go and talk about changing something that you really don't know about and haven't implemented yourself.
You went full retard, man. Never go full retard.
The Truth Train with Liberty Lisa. Tuesday nights, 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only on Truth Emergers Radio.
We're going to be going kind of out there for sure. Is our first family a first family of clones? And the number one influence on our government here in the United States is AIPAC, which is a group funded by Zionist Israelis.
Austin Talks, Saturday nights, 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Truth Emergers Radio Network.
Okay, welcome back to Insights with Fritz Springmeier, and now we're going to switch. That was the news that we gave in the first segment. I'm going to give a quick little plug here for my website, pentracks.com. Pen, like you write with a pen, and tracks, like your car leaves in the snow. Pentracks.com is my website where you are going to be able to read a lot of articles that I have written in the past few years. I haven't updated it in the last few months, but there's, if you go to the March, where it says March 2016 and click on that link, it'll take you to 800 articles. And you can also see on there how to order my books, like Bloodlines of the Illuminati, Be Wise as Serpents, The Illuminati Formula Used to Create an Undetectable Total Mind-Controlled Slave, and its sequel, Deeper Insights. These books are giving essential, important information that you're not going to be able to get anywhere else, and it's information that's going to open up, I guess you could say, to use the word that's so popular out there, a new paradigm. It's going to show you the rest of the story, you know, what's really going on, why they're able to bring in this new world order, and what they've been doing, and who's been doing it, the who, what, where, how, and when of it all. So go to pentracks.com and educate yourself. And then for those of you who are new to the show, you know, you can also at times read articles that I post on Facebook. So now let's go to something that I entitled the rest of the story. But in introducing this particular aspect of things, I'm wanting to talk about complex systems. And when the Illuminati runs the world, we're dealing with complex systems. And one of the things that's probably baffled people is how do they manage to do these things? Well, they have the Order of the Quest. The Order of the Quest is the Illuminati organization that preserves the continuity of their plans over generations. And so, you know, so it doesn't fall apart. And I don't know if the Jason Society, Keepers of the Dawn, Order of the Garter, if those are subsets of the Order of the Quest or just different names. And it's, I think they're probably subsets of the Order of the Quest. But anyway, the reason that this they're so successful is they do things over a long term. You know, their plans that were thought of clear back around 1800 have been implemented in my lifetime. You know, these and so they have a policy process, a very complex policy process, and I've broken it down for people. I've talked about the numerous organizations, Council for Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, Brookings Institute, Business Roundtable, American Enterprise Institute, Population Council, Urban Institute, all these policy planning groups here in the United States, but then there's just as many in these other countries, including Russia, where you have the Council on Foreign and Defense Policy and some other organizations. Which, interestingly, like the Carnegie Moscow Center, Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, has people in it, Dmitry Trenin, who worked for NATO, and he was a member of London's International Institute for Strategic Studies, which is the same as RCFR over here, so anyway, this stuff's going on worldwide, and they have programmed a network of quantum computers to help them control these complex systems. But how do complex systems act, and when do they fail? You know, and so this question is similar to, like, when do earthquakes happen? When does the global economy crash? How do politics change? How do we predict complex systems such as the movement of the Earth's crust? So, you know, this last year I've been researching earthquakes a great deal. That's here in the year 2016. I've given several lectures on what I discovered. I also was working out ways that we could mitigate what may happen. But one of the things I discovered in investigating earthquakes, and volcanoes are connected to earthquakes, it's all connected to subluxation of tectonic plates. Anyway, what I discovered was is there's no way to accurately and consistently predict an earthquake. People who think they have figured it out because they were once right soon get embarrassed. So what's going on here? Well, this is what for the rest of the story is going to be, because science has always tried to figure things out, you know, cause and effect. But one scientist thought outside of the box, and he was wondering if some things were beyond simple cause and effect. What he was exploring is what's now called nonlinear. So his name was Bach, and he was a Dane, and he theorized that if sand were piled slowly, grain by grain, into a cone, that at some point that cone of sand would have an avalanche and fall down. But he was theorizing that the point where that would happen would be totally unpredictable. So where he was going with this theory is he was saying that there are complex systems, there are things in life that are unpredictable. Well, an American scientist decided to try that theory out. So, you know, what would happen in real life if Bach's theory were tried out? Could you actually build something, one grain of sand after another? Well, his name was Glenn Held, and he decided to try. He collected beach sand, filtered it to get the same size grains, and then made sure all the grains were dry. Then he made a machine that looked like a pepper mill connected to a computer, and the computer ran the speed of the mill, which would turn and trickle out one grain at a time, a grain of sand, onto a plate. The plate, in turn, was put on a precise scale so that Glenn could determine exactly how much it took to get an avalanche. Each grain weighed a 1/10,000th of an ounce. The experiment was in a plexiglass enclosed area to prevent any air current. So the grains were dropped one by one, and as the original scientist, that's Bach, had predicted, the pile shaped itself into a cone. That's what's called self-organization. No one was telling the grains where to go. They just organized themselves into a cone on their own. But once the pile got to a certain point where it was a nice cone, then it would have an avalanche. But the thing that Held found out, there was no way to predict when that avalanche would occur. So he had an experiment that he could repeat that proved that complex systems are beyond prediction. So this is interesting because in discovering that complex systems are impossible for humans to predict, which, you know, like I say, maybe these quantum computers, which each of them has the mental ability of like 7 billion humans, maybe these quantum computers that are hooked up together, maybe they have the computing power to try to make some kind of sense out of complex, extremely complex systems. But you see, the Illuminati have a lot of power over the economy, and they can manhandle things. But if we look at, for instance, prior to World War II, you know, when the elite unleashed the forces for World War II, you know, Hitler doing his thing, the Japanese doing their thing, various scenarios could have occurred. And they didn't have the computing power of these quantum computers back then. So although the likelihood that Hitler and his Axis partners would actually win was quite minuscule, when they started planning, they had to plan for the whole range of contingencies. And by the way, the U.S. government in September 39 the State Department made a secret agreement with the Council of Foreign Relations for the Council of Foreign Relations to provide them with policy planning. And the person in the State Department that did this was an Illuminati member, Cordell Hull, who's also known as the Father of the United Nations, close friend to Al Gore Sr., and it was Secretary of State Hull, in fact, who turned the refugees back from Nazi Germany who wanted to enter the United States to escape Hitler. He also prevented American Jews from sending money to rescue Romanian Jews from the Nazis, even though Hull himself had Jewish blood. So there we see an example of how the Illuminati had to make contingency plans covering an entire range of possibilities. Of course, only one happened. That's what we've got going on. So it's interesting that, you know, now we've seen scientifically that there is this thing for complex systems, we can predict that a complex system is unpredictable, you know? And where did we just see something like this happen? Well, the Illuminati kingpins bragged to me that they were going to select and elect Hillary Clinton as our next president, well, they were wrong. The same unpredictability that the Sandpile proved took place with Trump being elected. This kind of situation is called nonlinear. It's unmappable dynamism. And now you know the rest of the story. Now, I still have time. So I thought I would provide something that I thought was kind of interesting. You know, one of the things that one of my goals is to promote the ancient wisdom of the Bible. And someone shared what made the Bible come alive to them. And I wouldn't necessarily, I'm not saying this, that I'm recommending this as the way for you to do it. I'm just saying that this person, I'll call him Joe, this was interesting, his story of how he made the Bible come alive, because he went to a retreat and he forgot to take his Bible. Joe forgot. So he asked the guest master if he could borrow a Bible, and the guest master said, "Wouldn't you care to write your own?" "What do you mean?" "Well, write your own Bible, something of your own on the order of the Bible. You could tell of classical bondage and of great liberation, a promised land, sacred songs, a Messiah, that kind of thing. Ought to be much more interesting than just reading someone else's Bible, and you might learn more." So Joe goes, "Well, I set to work. It took me a month. I never learned so much about the official Bible. When I was finished, this guy that had done the recommendation, he recommended I take it home and I try to live according to it for a year. I should keep a journal of my experience, but I shouldn't tell anyone else about it, the project, nor show anyone the books, you know, the Bible he had written, that Joe had written in his journal on how he's trying to do it." Well, he came back the next year. When he came back the next year, the head of the retreat took his journal and his homemade Bible. He kissed them and then told the guy to burn them in some flames, which he did. Then he told him, "Hey, go to work and write another Bible." So every year for 40 years, he would write his own version Bible, and he would try to live according to what he had written down. I thought that was an interesting story because it showed one person's way of making the Bible come alive. You know, and I don't know what in your life, what has made God come alive or not. I know in my own life, I have lots of personal testimonies of things that God has done. And at a certain point, true, you walk by faith, but at a certain point, you've seen these things come true. You've seen the scriptures come true to the point that you know that it's true. You know, it's no longer a theory, but you've seen it proven true. And so just to give one incident of one testimony of my own life where I saw the reality of God is Cisco, who I was helping get out of the Illuminati, her grandson, Mitchell, had fallen. He had fallen on the side of his head and broke his entire growth plate. And so the mother and the grandmother took Mitchell to a doctor. He took x-rays. He said, the kid's going to die. His growth plate's totally broken. It can't heal, you know, and that's what happens. Well, of course, they didn't like that prognosis. So they wanted a second opinion. They went to another doctor who took x-rays and said the same thing, you know, with the growth plate broken like that, it's only a matter of time before the child dies. So she was very disturbed And so the grandmother called me, and I went with three other brothers. We put Mitchell in the middle of the circle, and we started praying. And all of us at the same moment, we could sense when the Holy Spirit came down, almost like a tornado came down. We could sense it. We could feel that it had come down and healed them. We all opened our eyes and said at the very same time, "He's healed." And so the grandmother took him to the doctor, had x-rays, and sure enough, his growth plate was healed. These kind of miracles, I could tell other incidences in my life. This is not something that's, a one-time deal. I've seen God work in many other ways. And so I encourage you, to get to know your Creator, get to know the Scriptures, get to know that ancient wisdom that God has provided for us. And when you see the wisdom of the Bible proven true, it brings it to life, then it won't be secondhand. I know a lot of Christians, they grow up in a Christian family, they get their religion secondhand, they never have an experience where they meet God, know Him, where they see Him do miracles, where they see the power of God. I'll say this, if you're going to try to help someone who's been in the Illuminati try to get out, they have to see a power more powerful than the Illuminati, or they're not going to leave. These people that were leaving the Illuminati that I work with, all of them had many miracles. All of them had seen that the power of God is stronger than the power of darkness. And so that's what I want you to see for your own life. And, it's very interesting that when we look out here with the rest of the story that I said today, when we look out here and we try to decide, okay, is the economy going to crash on this date? What's it going to do? Is it going to be, is the stock market going to go up or down? These are complex systems. And, we can use all kinds of things to calculate it, but at some point we have to realize, just like the sand pile, with complex systems, even the Illuminati has difficulties predicting it. But then for those of you who have been following my information, you know that the Illuminati work off of charts that predict how the market is going to act. And those charts are pretty accurate. So they have pretty good, and the reason why their things work is because they have so many strings attached. I would basically call the American economy a zombie economy that's like got puppet strings that they're just keeping alive, and they knew exactly when the stock market crash was going to crash in October 1929. So for them, a lot of these things do seem predictable, but when I was visiting with these four women that had been a team in the Illuminati that were a support team to get out, when I visited with other people in the Illuminati, and they've shared with me what the Illuminati's plans are, I can say this, the plans continue to go forward, but their timetables had to been revised repeatedly. And I believe that what we're seeing with Trump is we're seeing a subgroup of the powers that be break away and go their own direction. This is sort of like a mini coup. And so this is obviously going to have repercussions on their agenda and its timetable. So I definitely, from where I stand, see that we have delayed things for a while. And I think that this would be God's way of allowing more people to come to repentance, more people to wake up to realize that the powers that be are not undefeatable. They are not omnipotent. And even though they like to get their cameras, like in the UK and Boston, everywhere, watching everything, I mean, even in our televisions and our phones and stuff, and in our cars, they're putting in cameras to watch us. Even though they're doing all this, and their logo is the all-seeing eye, these people have limitations. These people have limitations, and their computers cannot calculate in, they cannot factor in what God's going to do. So I say that to encourage everybody. I've repeatedly seen God's hand move, and so we can take encouragement and hope from what God's doing. You might even use the word new world disorder, because there are things that we can do about the new world order. And so I hope I have provoked your thinking tonight and given you some hope. And I hope you've had fun with this broadcast. And I think I will wrap it up now. I'll give one more, a final plug for my website. This is Fritz Springmeier, and you are listening to Insights with Fritz Springmeier. And if you want more information about the Illuminati and how they're doing things, how they're doing things outside of our paradigm or our worldview, go to pentracks.com, 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 and you can order my books. And so you have a great New Year's, you know, all the best to you, and I've enjoyed having another radio session with you. Good night.